The world is shifting. Governments are redefining power. Culture is rewriting truth. What does it mean for Christians worldwide? This is the State of the World Today, Faith Under Pressure.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. And no, that is not David Paxton in New York. Looking at you this morning is Mr. Mark Sutherland over there in the United Kingdom, some undisclosed location. How you doing over there, Mark?
I'm well. I'm extremely well, and it's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Mark. Always, it's hard for me to get you on anymore. I mean, you know, we talk a lot, you know. WhatsApp or whatever, you know, I mean, we're always communicating with each other and we always want to get you on the show. The problem is that you are such a popular individual that after you've done like four or five podcasts in one day, you're out of gas.
That's very kind of you. And it's like the other day and it is a real privilege where I'm then having a conversation with America and India, previously America, and then I'm jumping on, there's a conversation with Israel, and then back to America. So it is amazing, and it is this international family, and it is much appreciated, and it's just trying to schedule that. And of course, as you appreciate, there's the time difference. At the moment, you're 6 hours behind me. And then if I'm suddenly dealing with Ohio area, that's 5 hours behind. And then further to Montana, it's a little bit further, or Pacific time, it gets a little bit further. So if you're doing your own interview podcast as well, or hosting someone else's show, which I do for a dear friend of mine, Dan Happel of Connecting the Dots, and you're bringing on guests and they're all in three different time zones, it becomes a head spinner. But it is really funny, because I think culturally, you guys on your side of the pond are so used to working in different time zones, and the reason being is because your nation is split into different time zones.
Right.
We have one time zone, and we just about cope with that. So it gets really interesting when guests are behind you, and also guests are in front
ahead.
Of you.
How
does this work? So it's great, and I'm just thinking of the graphic that you had at the beginning, which shows Big Ben. It shows a building to the right of Big Ben, which is, I believe, his offices, where maybe members of parliament are, I think, off the top of my head. But just to see that, I mean, it's something that I know, of course, extremely well. We're in trouble over here. Big time.
David and I have talked about that, you know, that we got to get you out of there. You know, we got to get you out of there before everything goes to hell in a handbasket, if I can say that.
I think I appreciate that. It all depends where does God want us to go? Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting when you say about, no, I'm not David, it's not New York. And we think of David and we think of New York at the moment, which is these huge piles of snow everywhere embedded around various cars. But which is bad enough because it stops people moving around safely, even though they've cleared that. But the other thing is all of this rubbish that is piled up. And I'm just going to give a big shout out. A dear friend of mine in New York, Marshall, has got an event on the 21st of February. So not this weekend coming, but the following weekend. Mm-hmm. And he's got Trevor Loudon coming to talk, which is amazing. Trevor Loudon wrote the books Obama, Enemies Within. He wrote the book Enemies Within. He wrote a book about Keith Ellison, you know, Minnesota fame. Mm-hmm. So if you're in New York listening to this, then please attend. Please attend. Look it up on Facebook. Look it up. Find Marshall and then you'll find the event. But But New York, you know, a big city like that, and of course Mamdani, but the fact that you've got rubbish piling up, we have that same situation here with Birmingham, which you could argue is our second city. Mm-hmm. And there's been a sort of a strike by dustmen, as we call them, recycle loaders, or some people call dust people, okay. And all the other DEI words. And there's just rubbish in the streets and has been for months.
That's sad.
It's really sad. So, yeah. So, JD, I know what direction I want to take it in. Have you got any ideas, or shall I go for that?
No, Mark, actually, I put it pretty much generic because I there is so much to cover. You know, we have been talking, as I opened the show with, we've been talking a lot, mm-hmm. and I know that there's a lot of stuff that you want to get to, and so I just kind of wanted to give you an open platform and just kind of let it go from there. So before you do that, would you mind go ahead and prying us into this episode of the show? We've had some technical issues today, and we sure want to make it through. And then I'm just going to turn you loose, and we're just going to roll with it.
Okay, brilliant. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for the privilege of just being able to get together with thousands of miles across the pond and just being able to talk to people, and the fact that people give their time to listen. So really bless it. Give us the words to say. I pray there's going to be no technical issues, because it's been a bit of a fight for poor JD today. So we just commit all of this to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And as I said, Mark, I'm just going to let you go. And I'm just going to start. I'm going to start things off here real quick, and then you take over. And that is that I'm interested in what is going on over there in the United Kingdom right now. I know you guys are experiencing a lot of issues, should I say? We are too, but you know, it's what blows up over there first seems to make its way to America. So I'm just going to turn you loose. Go ahead, Mark. Whatever you want to go.
Okay, brilliant. Oh. As you are very aware, a week ago, just over a week ago, there was another Epstein file dump, mm-hmm. right? 3.5 million bits of data.
Right.
I have not read the 3.5 million bits of data, paying attention to certain things. But here are a number of crucial things that you may have heard about. Is the fact that we have a huge scandal over here that a man called Peter Mandelson has appeared in the Epstein files a number of times. So mm-hmm. let's just quickly explain who he is and why it's scandalous.
Yeah. Okay.
Reason being is because the whole Epstein thing, what it has shown, it confirms that for many of us, when we've been called conspiracy theorists for a long time, and we talk about how all these connections are of a cabal of elitist people who are making decisions that affect all of our lives. Mm-hmm. It is true, and we are affected by that. And what happens is that these files then confirm that. So when we're in a position, let's make an American comment first. When we're in a position when you've got people like Hillary Clinton, in 2014, we remember the awful events in Benghazi, mm-hmm. when ambassadors were murdered and members, very brave men that were that had the job of defending him, defending the compound, the ambassadorial compound, and they were killed. Some of them were killed, etc. This was awful. And then we remember Hillary Clinton going to Congress for a congressional committee going, you know, what does it matter?
Yeah, what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember
what
that.
What difference does it make? Mm-hmm. And we're fully aware of relationships that couple get up to. And what has now come out is that they have finally agreed to come to the people's house. It may be in a private room, mm-hmm. but to give a deposition, to be asked questions about about what they've got up to about the Clinton Foundation, and also ask questions in regard to their appearances in the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm.
So they are doing that. Now, why has that got everything to do, why has that got anything to do with what I'm going to discuss now? Well, all of these people know each other, and there seems to be a conduit, and that conduit is Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. Peter Mandelson has been involved in British politics for many, many years, and has been involved up front and also behind the curtain, as some people say. He also has a family lineage that's been involved. But when Tony Blair won the election in 1997, he then became leader of the Labour Party in 92, won the election in 97. All the music played, which was things can only get better. And their attitude is that there'd been no previous British history. It was all going to be from year zero and off we go. Peter Mandelson played a huge part in Tony Blair winning that election. Previously, in 92, he had also been part of overseeing the Neil Kinnock, who was then the Labour leader, trying to win in 92, and he didn't win. So Blair won. Peter Mandelson has the name of someone like of the dark arts of politics. Well, Blair won three elections, two of those administrations. Mandelson, there was one particular scandal where he forgot to say that he had borrowed £375,000 of a gentleman called Geoffrey Robinson, who had lent him to that. Under the directives and our legal system, if you are a member of Parliament, you have to tell Parliament about these things. Mm-hmm. This is a disclosure. He didn't do that. This was to buy an expensive house in West London at the time, and he then got kicked out the government for that. He ended up in the House of Lords, and he then had got himself in another very sticky situation where he was seeking to get two passports for Indian businessmen. I'm explaining this to say that the guy is not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. In his autobiography, The Third Man, he talks about the fact that he is drawn to people of power, drawn to people with money.
Mm-hmm.
2009, Jeffrey Epstein, if my memory serves me correct, he was given a sentence in regard to the paedophilia, his paedophilia activities.
Mm-hmm.
He was given a sentence, and people like Mandelson were friends with him. They were still friends with him. So there's been pictures all over the newspaper of him with Jeffrey Epstein. There's Peter Mandelson in a bathrobe, maybe just having a foot massage. There's also appalling pictures of him in his underwear. And there's some young girl, face blacked out, in a robe, looking over something on an iPad. So questionable relationships. But here's the key thing. He then comes back and is then given the job of being the UK ambassador to Washington.
Mm.
And 5 or 6 months ago, he was sacked for that. But the people that search these things had brought information to Keir Starmer, our Prime Minister, excuse of a Prime Minister, as far as I'm concerned, saying you should not give Peter Mandelson the job of being ambassador. So there is a certain service that overlooks these things. Keir Starmer ignored that. Now, he was given that, he was promoted or put forward for that job by a gentleman called Gordon McSweeney. And McSweeney is a protege of Peter Mandelson in the dark arts of politics. So he was rewarded. Mandelson was then rewarded with this job. Now, McSweeney then, from 2017, had held a very, very principled and high job within the Labour Party. He was head of chief advisor, head of communications, all this kind of thing sort of rolled into one, as far as I'm concerned. However, Because previous leader Jeremy Corbyn, who was extremely left wing, pro-Palestinian, pro-everything, of a left wing equation, and there was a huge scandal in regard to anti-Semitism within the Labour Party. And then Corbyn lost an election, he was kicked out. So McSweeney and Mandelson and Keir Starmer would call themselves of the right of a left-wing party.
Okay.
The issue is this. He was made ambassador, but what has just come out of the Epstein files, JD, is that in 2009-10, when we had the huge banking crisis worldwide, where many people, you know, people lost their jobs, people lost their houses, banks were calling things in regard to debt. It had happened before, a few years before as well. There's build up to all of this. And then the emails are then revealed that Peter Mandelson was passing information from of a cabinet level, of governmental level, to Epstein, which would then the accusation is that he would then have been in a particular position to in regard to his own personal investments, because he had insider trading knowledge. You could say that. You can say that of the accusation. So he was then told about the fact there was going to be a 500 billion euro bailout of Greece and Europe. And that he then said, oh, I persuaded Gordon Brown, our then Prime Minister, to step down as leader of the party and all this. So that is just the tip of the iceberg. We don't know what other information he then passed on. But this was happening. So it's a bit like Nancy Pelosi, her husband, you know, how come they've made so much money? They seem to be able to invest in shares on the stock market and do extremely well. And
yeah, they win all the time. Yeah, Hillary always wins. Nancy always wins. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Of course, don't worry. Of course, there's other people that have followed their investment pattern, and they've also done very well out of it, because they just go, I'm just going to follow this. So it's been proven. So we've got that going on, which is extremely serious. He's had the police have been round and searched his two of his properties. I think one of them may be rented. That needs to be checked. But it's a very, very, both in very, very wealthy areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the other thing that's just come out in the last couple of days. Just to say, put this in the context of Scripture. God says, I am going, in those times, I'm going to shake everything.
Mm-hmm.
So our political system is being shaken. If we look on a broader world thing, we look at the churches like Bethel or the NAR stuff and all that, that is quite rightly being shaken as well in regard to scandal. Well, the other thing, because we have all of that over here, people follow these churches or part of church plants linked with that over here. Now, the other big thing is, of course, is the royal family. Over here has been rocked, and yes, I won't reveal the name. Someone once asked me, is the Queen a reptile? So let's not even go down that road. I won't reveal who it is. I would love to, but I just couldn't believe the question anyway. But this is the serious thing. So Prince Andrew, as you know, has had loads of links with Epstein, his ex-wife. Fergie has had links with Epstein. They were divorced Fergie and Andrew were divorced a number of years ago, but they basically live together. They have two daughters, Princess Eugenie and Beatrice. So Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was stripped of being formerly known as Prince. He was stripped of his Prince Andrew title. And then he was moved out of a particular home, which was quite large, into another home, which still has five bedrooms. So he was stripped of that title. But over the last few days, and also a fairly well-known royal biographer, whose name has just gone from me, wrote a book, produced a book, has talked about a cover-up within the royal family. Let's cut to it. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, Andrew paid Virginia Guthrie £12 million as an out-of-court settlement or legality settlement in regard to £12 million.
It's now hush money. Out. Yeah, hush money type of thing. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
It's now come out that, according to this biographer, according to other newspaper articles, headlines, that King Charles contributed to the 12 million. Mm. Prince Philip contributed to the 12 million. The Queen contributed to the 12 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the last week, King Charles has been out walking about in front of the public, and there has been shouting and heckling from the crowds about what are you going to do about Andrew? What are you going to do about Epstein? Mm-hmm. What are you doing here, etc. So we've got that. That's all going on now. The fact that it's been exposed means, Charles, you knew what you were doing with your money. The Queen knew what she was doing with her money. So did Prince Philip. Well, the only person that's still with us is King Charles. Mm-hmm. So this could turn rather interesting, because it would then be, well, if you knew about this, then you were a complicit with the cover-up. That will then come. So let's come back to it biblically. A whole lot of shaking going on, which God says, I will shake, and including the royal family. Now, as someone dear to me explained, if you want to pursue and you push forward the one world government utopian agenda, then what you're going to have to do is get rid of monarchs. You're going to have to get rid of their in regard to throne, power, etc. You have to get rid of that. But the other key thing is that, of course, around the world, everyone is watching these Epstein files, including over here. Many people are doing that. What is then happening if people do not see justice on both sides of the pond, my friend? Then it creates a situation where people are disaffected because they don't see results.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a huge implications here. In our last election on the 4th of July, 2024, 40% of people that were eligible to vote decided not to vote. That's an extremely huge 40 to 50% is 10%, but you understand the point I'm making.
Absolutely.
You're nearly half of your electorate. Mm-hmm. So that is a situation you have then created where people are so disaffected, where they just think, what's the point in us participating in this? Mm-hmm. Now, we have a democracy, which understandably, according to the American worldview, is mob rule. So we have mob rule, right? We have slid into this. So this is the situation that we have. So we have this disaffection. Now, this can go into another subject that either we have time to talk about or we're not. But this whole thing of what we call Fabianism, which is socialism without having a Bolshevik revolution, without firing a shot.
Yeah,
so
now,
in the end,
Mark, I'm going to save that one for the second half, because I feel like we need to really get into that. But look, I've been kind of taking notes as you go along here, so I got a few things I want to hit with you before we run out of time here in the first half of the show. Number one, very very quickly, can you describe the difference between the House of Commons and the House of Lords? Because yes, people here in the United States have no clue. You know, we've got the Congress, we've got the Senate, but I have no idea what the Commons and Lords deal is. So can you, real briefly on that?
Right. You can vote for people in the Senate and you can vote for people in the Congress to take those positions, right?
Right.
In the House of Commons, the people, the citizens of the UK vote to put members of parliament in Westminster, in the House of Lords. We do not vote for that. The House of Lords, until recently, they had that through hereditary peerage that went from family to family.
Oh, okay.
200-300 years.
Okay, so that's more like a monarchy type of a situation.
And then you've got to bear in mind Magna Carta and the barons and where all this comes from. Okay. So the House of Lords, who goes into the House of Lords now, is down to political parties. There is a certain time where people are suggested for that. And of course, as you can appreciate, the political machinations are of that. In other words, you stuff the House of Lords with people that agree with your politics and your political persuasion. And just finally, the House of Lords are supposed to be checks and balances. Whatever law is put forward in Parliament, the House of Lords are supposed to oversee that and make amendments. It can pass back to Parliament, I think, at least 4 times, but it can't be... It could be stonewalled in regard to voting, and that's the game. But technically, they can't disallow law, but they want it to be improved. But through various means that we have, like just now, the Parliament is about to go on a recess for a few days, which means legislation has not gone through, and there could come a point where certain legislation will never be passed. So that's the difference. The difference, Jim.
Okay. All right. I've only got a couple of minutes here left here in the show or in the first half. I noticed that you were talking about the Labour Party being left wing. I'm wondering if that's kind of like our Democrats here in the United States. Yes. And then you got the way I was listening to all this stuff, you know, about this person is doing that and this group is doing this and these people are coming in here. It sounds like the good old boy network. You know, that's
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I would agree with you. And JD, just say this. There was a very strong relationship between the Labour Party and the Democratic Party.
Mm.
And there was this accusation that in the presidential election between Harris and between President Trump, that the Labour Party sent over 100 volunteers came over from this country to help with the Harris campaign. That's the accusation, I think, with one or two people that happened. But that goes back historically. I believe the accusation is that our present Foreign Secretary, Yvette Cooper, even helped. I would, in the Clinton campaign, I take a guess that may have been the second Clinton campaign. So there is a crossover, my friend, which is not helpful.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, it seems like everything that starts over there, it used to be everything that starts in California moves its way, from the west to the east. And now it's more like everything that starts over in the United Kingdom seems like it bleeds over into the United States. And now we got it from both angles at the same time. And we are seeing a lot of craziness, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Anyway, in the second half of the show, I'm going to let Mark go again because we've got to learn a lot about what's going on. We do see faith under pressure, and I really want to get into that too because Christians are taking the brunt of this, in my opinion anyway. And as I said, we'll talk about that here in the second half of the show. Y'all hang in there with us, and we will be right back.
Today, Christian voices are being silenced, censored, and pushed aside. That's why Last Christian Media exists. We are an independent, family-friendly Christian media platform broadcasting on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and the web, bringing Bible-based teaching, trusted commentary, and faith-centered programming directly into homes around the world. We don't answer to corporations, we don't rely on advertisers, and we don't compromise biblical truth. But independence comes at a cost. Your support helps keep Christian content on television. It helps cover broadcasting, streaming, and platform operations. It helps creators share truth without censorship or shadow banning. When you support Last Christian Media, you're not funding a network. You're strengthening a mission. Visit lastchristian.net, click donate, explore the media store, and help keep Christian voices visible. Last Christian Media, faith, truth, family, on TV, on demand, and here to stay.
And welcome back, everybody. Second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas, and that is Mr. Mark Sutherland, all the way from the United Kingdom. Mark, one thing I wanted to say before we get started here is that it appears to me, from everything that you were talking about in the first half, that we're kind of a mirror with you guys, in that you've got the media that is all lined up with the left. You got, you know, the narrative, if you look at it, it's all leftist, it's all left-winging, and they throw everything out that has anything to do with conservative values, Christian values, and they try to tell you, and I'm talking about the lamestream media or the propaganda media here, they try to tell you about everything that's wrong, and that the majority believe in what they're saying, when every 90-10 issue, the regular people on the street, whether they're in the United States or in the United Kingdom, totally disagree, but they're being fed a bunch of horse manure that their values don't match up with what the real world's about. In other words, upside down, just like to what the Bible said, good will be bad and bad will be good. You know, that's what we're dealing with right now. So I'm going to leave it at that, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was just going to say, from the first half an hour with this whole thing with Mandelson or the Epstein files, but what it's then exposed is other people that are connected with Mandelson and some of the relationships that they have with him and some of the emails that they've sent to him, like, for argument's sake, the gentleman that's in charge of our National Health Service, Wes Streeting, he has just come out and talked about, you know, to get ahead of the curve, the emails that he has and the relationship he has with Mandelson. In other words, what we're saying is we've got to remember who is behind the curtain and who is, you know, who is trying to influence to get their man or woman in position. But I think, the other thing I'd say, we then had, believe it or not, we had to go to the Supreme Court to say that how men and women are defined, how biologically, you know, there are only two sexes. The fact that we had to go to the Supreme Court. Well, what's happening is that many politicians want to ignore that. They're trying to ignore that.
Yep.
There was a moratorium done on stopping any, stopping, you know, puberty blockers being forced onto teenage children. Now there's a trial within the National Health Service over here that's been going on in regard to puberty blockers. That is then being pushed in the Irish health system as well. So there is all of this. So in other words, JD, when people say, well, hold on a minute, we want that to stop, we're fighting to stop this, and there's suddenly some kind of agreement in regard to that, and then suddenly we all find out the fact that our views are then being ignored and things are carrying on behind our back, because there are huge, like on your side of the pond over here, there are huge lobbyists that are going on. I mean, we're witnessing that in Washington in regard to Iran, the situation in Iran, for argument's sake. And I just want to quickly make a point of that. Please keep Iran in your prayers. Keep the brave, incredible Iranian people, the Persian with incredible Persian culture and heritage, keep them in your prayers, because we're looking at an absolute bloodbath. People, I mean, at this rate, it could be 100,000 for all we know.
Well, I've got to jump in here for a second, because what you're describing is what they have been accusing Israel of for the last, 2 years now. This is a massacre. And, you know, it is not being covered, again, by the propaganda media. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about, you know, anything to do with Israel. And a friend of ours, Amir Tesfardik,
he said, you know, anytime that they're reporting news, you know, no Jews, no news. And that is exactly the way it is. And, you know, Iran is getting away with genocide, pure and simple, you know, like it or not. That's what it is, you know, and it's got to stop. And one thing I'm going to say this because I am a supporter of President Trump to a point. And it's very important for me to say to a point because he promised the Iranian people helps on the way. I haven't seen it yet. Get off your butt. Get it done. Okay, let's do this. Don't handcuff Prime Minister Netanyahu. Tell him that he's got free rein to go in there and take them out. And if they need any assistance, that the United States has their back. That will work, I promise you. So, you know, like I said, I'm with him to a point, but right now I'm breaking from him, and I'm saying, let's get this done. All right, that's all I wanted to say about that, Mark. If you got comments on that, fine. If not, go ahead with wherever you want to take us.
I will comment on that before we go down another rabbit hole, but or another avenue, because it's not a rabbit hole, because all the evidence is out there. As Rubio says, we have a window, we have an opportunity like they've never had. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very, very important because the regime change, the revolution of 1979, which is a red-green axis, that is what they're trying to bring about in America. That is what they're trying to bring about here. There is an axis between, people would call themselves the Green Party or the climate change, net zero netters, are then aligning themselves with Islam. Mm-hmm. So people that are pushing a radical Islamist ideology. So that is happening. Yes, we haven't seen any action. We've seen plenty of assets being taken into that region. And right. here's the worry. Iran negotiates. They're very good at it. They just pull the wool over the eyes and then they stall and they stall and they stall. We remember Obama's red lines. We also remember the money that's been given. We also remember the money again given under the O'Biden regime, because O'Biden wasn't in charge, the pen, and Obama and his friends were running it. So that is what then happened. The Persian people, I'm calling that's the heritage, have paid such a high price so far, and also people that are detained. These young people are absolutely beautiful, and it is just, it's heartbreaking. You're in tears looking at this when they have gone on the streets. They've had enough. But it's going back to the suppression of that. And the key thing is this, I'll just say it like I've said elsewhere. If the regime is toppled, then Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, the financing of that, even though Qatar has sent many millions of dollars into Gaza and then funding Hamas as well. All these proxies will then not have someone backing them anymore. Mm. So this is really important. And also, as much as this is unpopular to say to the Iranian regime, they have been the biggest sponsor of international terrorism.
100%. So, yes. Yeah,
this is the whole thing. It'd be fantastic to get rid of them. The IRGC and co. have been tracking people in other countries who are against the regime, who fled the regime. And the fact that they're threatening people is just appalling. So this is this web. And also something that we have to really pray about, which is Russia, Chinese links. Who's buying the oil? The fact that in Iran, that's why the Venezuelan situation then came to a head, because Iran was giving Venezuela, Maduro, advice of how to get round the sanctions. Mm-hmm. And also because that triangle down there, that part really is the narco-terrorist heartland. So if I'm going to recommend a book by Rachel Ehrenfeld, who I've had the privilege to interview, okay. She wrote a book called Narco-Terrorism. She wrote that book in 1990.
Wow.
1990. Okay. Hamas and Hezbollah and co. make money. They are pushing drugs into America, mm-hmm. into that area. Mm-hmm. That region, and just out of it, and just so you know, previous Ayatollah gave some fatwa or gave some remit saying that it's okay to push drugs into America,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. we need to bring that down. So there's all of this complexity, which people need to bear in mind, e.g., Russia. Who Russia is then selling its oil to, the fact that China, what they're buying off various nations, the fact that Iran creates drones that it has been selling and to Russia. This we've got to bear this in mind, and also in regard to the BRICS nations and the economic assault on the West. And Israel, whatever people think, and you and I stand with them, Israel are fighting on all of our behalf in regard to Western civilization.
Right.
And I'm just going to make a comment about figures that we talked about. The Hamas have been giving X amount of money to the widows of Hamas fighters, and someone's done some work into this and recording, trying to work out how many Hamas fighters have been killed who fought against the IDF. And there is a figure that someone has floated that's 45,000. Mm. Now, out of this 70,000 that Israel is, sadly, that people have died, I mean, any death on both sides.
Right.
But let's just remember, on the 23rd, on the 7th of October, 2023, Hamas attacked Israel. 1,200 Israeli citizens were murdered, the biggest loss of Jewish life since the Holocaust, mm-hmm. and 251 hostages were taken. You and I have discussed that.
Right.
Now, the Gaza Health Ministry gave figures. You can't rely on those figures whatsoever, and they would never say that how many of those figures were actually, you know, terrorists. Fighting Israel. So someone's done some very, very clever trying to work this out, and they've come up with a figure of 45,000. Well, any death is just regrettable.
Right.
But when Hamas used the citizens of Gaza to stand behind, and then we have to remind ourselves in 2017 that when there was a so-called election, that many people voted for Hamas to then run the Gaza mm-hmm. Strip. Yeah. So we say that. And of course, in 2005, Israel then withdrew. Now, we are all concerned about this border peace and all the lobbying that's going on. And as I said, Iran is playing for time. They know that just over 2 years' time, President Trump will be stepping down. There'll be an American election. Mm-hmm. Whether that means becomes more isolationist, as there is a huge anti-Semitism on the right, as there is on the left.
Yes.
So we have the Tucker Carlson's, the Candace mm-hmm. Owens, mm-hmm. and Massey, and other politicians, and including, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene stepped down, but including some of Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then all the groupers, and then, well, Nick Fuentes.
Let me hop in here for just a second. Do you think that the United States is moving toward an anti-Israel stance in the future? And, you know, I know this is a very touchy deal here, but, you know, looking at the Bible, where the Bible says that no one comes to Israel's aid, and the fact that the United States has always had Israel's back, in order for that to happen, it seems to me, just me, okay, I've got nothing to back this up outside of what I'm seeing happening, but it seems to me like the United States is beginning to distance itself from Israel. I'm not saying President Trump is, but let's say that you've got a Newsom that wins an election. Do you see the United States withdrawing its strong support of Israel, which opens up basically the end time prophecy of the Bible to wide open?
I see that in the future, but then again, we've got to be honest and say that under the O'Biden regime, on the one hand, he's going, you know, we stand with Israel, but then they were stopping munitions being shipped from America
I was talking more about congressional, you know, because here in the United States, the Congress holds the purse strings, is what they've always called it.
There's a huge fight, and to be honest with you, as much as this is very, very, very unpopular to say, and the wonderful Jonathan Tobin has been writing about this along with Alex, I can't think of Alex's surname, in JNS, where, you know, J.D. Vance at times has been, to me, in my personal opinion, has been a bit questionable on this issue.
Okay.
I can see it going that way, and I would also encourage anyone watching to go through history, look at what Truman did in 46, 47, and then go through some of the comments of Nixon. Go through the archives. Mm-hmm. You can find them on YouTube. It's very interesting when he talks about standing with Israel. Nixon's mother once said to him, one day you will be in a position where, you know, to help the Jewish people, to help the nation of Israel. This is all there. There is no doubt about it. Even though, of course, you know, Tucker Carlson criticized Ted Cruz for saying this, but we bless you. Bless my people, I will bless you. You curse my people, I will curse you. This is real.
Mm-hmm.
So this fight is happening. And also, when other people's theology is being challenged, whether they, you know, they might think, well, Jesus isn't returning and there is no covenant with the land. Well, there is a covenant with the land, with the people. Are they being asked to come back in belief? No, they come back. A lot of them come back in unbelief. We look at what is gonna happen and what is gonna unfold. I think there is no doubt about that. And then over here, again, going back to the emails, you know, from certain individuals, it's suddenly saying, well, because my constituent seat has a very, very heavy Muslim vote, then we're going to have to change. I'm going to have to change my stance on Israel. Be careful just to make sure I win my seat. So there's all this going on. And my friend, on your side of the pond, there is that playing out as well, like care. And I need to get a friend of mine, Tony Garule, on with you on the show from Radical Truth, who's a real expert on this. Okay. You see what's going on. We see what's going on with care. We see what's going on with the red-green axis on your side of the pond and in the Dallas area, in Minnesota.
Right.
This is extremely real. And as when I was talking to Tony, we're shouting and screaming and wanting people to wake up. But Bible prophecy, I'm not sitting here as some clever expert, but Bible prophecy says that this is unfolding. The rise of, I will say this, on this side of the pond, and it breaks my heart, it really does upset me immensely, is that we have just had the second highest recorded anti-Semitic attacks recorded in the UK. That is rising. The anti-Semitic attack, you've had some awful attacks in Colorado, in Washington, D.C., with that young couple in Colorado, where people shoved throwing Molotov cocktails into a crowd of Jewish people. The young couple in Washington, D.C. was just so tragic. We have, you know, this is what has been taking place. And as much as this is going to be very, very unpopular to say as well, but this is the reality. So they will blame the Jews and they will blame the Christians for the state of the world.
And right.
This persecution mm-hmm. starting. And also, mm-hmm. if you are of a left-wing mindset, you are against God. And if you then believe in God, if you know, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and I'll tell you something, if anyone watching, and that is not right with you, then I would say, don't listen to anything we said, except go and pray and give your life to Christ.
Yes.
And if you need to ask any question with that, then go ask JD on the Last Christian, www.lastchristian.net website, and ask that question. And if you need prayer for that, then we're more than happy to help.
Oh, yeah. I'll say this while you're getting recharged here for a second. Anybody that wants to reach out to us, please, office@lastchristian.net. That's the email address, office@lastchristian.net. There's also a prayer request on there that you can go directly to the website, and you can submit a prayer request there as well. And we will be happy to do that with you. Go ahead, Mark.
I do want to make some comments about the Fabian Society.
Yes, absolutely.
Fabian Society created in 1865, and I just want to recommend a friend of mine's
okay.
book who lives yeah. on your side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions the Fabian Society.
Okay.
This is written by.
I didn't do you justice on that. If you'd hold that up again, please. I'm gonna put it full screen there where everybody can see it. Social Justice and the Deification of Man. And that is by Stephanie Potts. We had Stephanie on, as a matter of fact, not too
yeah,
long ago.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say that book, buy it. I mean, so 1885 is a leading up the Bolshevik revolution within Russia around about 2017. But the Fabian Society basically is communism.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Karl yeah. Marx around about 1840, 1845, writing the Communist Manifesto, writing that over here in the British Library and around the area. He's buried in Camden in North London. And Camden in North London has some very woke, left-wing leaning people.
Mm-hmm.
What a surprise if we talk about principalities and powers, if we talk about the fact that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, Ephesians 6. Lay this out. Think about that. So the mm-hmm. Fabian, because we're in a spiritual battle, the Fabian Society was to looking to then have a revolution without firing a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fabian Society, of course, exists. The Fabian Society, a couple of weeks ago, had its meeting, or just over a week ago, a meeting in London. There are many, many members of the present Labour Party and members of the Fabian Society. So,
okay.
The Attlee government that won after the Second World War, which Churchill lost the election, there were well over, I think there were about 217 members of Parliament who are a member of the Fabian Society, and a number of members of the Fabian Society within the Blair administration. And now they are profoundly dangerous,
mm-hmm.
as Bernard Shaw wrote a book in 1924, about the Bolshevik Revolution. We go back to people like Sidney and Beatrice Webb. They went over to Russia. They thought, wow, isn't this amazing? As Stalin, according to them, was just showing them all the good things, not the gulags, not people starving,
right. Not
talking about what happened in Ukraine in regard to Moldor and the starvation of the Ukrainian people. Now, I will give the logo of the Fabians was a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's now been turned to, I believe, a turtle. Now, that's rather interesting because
mm-hmm.
it's step by step incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen our institutions taken over by the left-wing woke right. mind virus, and going back,
mm-hmm.
you look at the awful events of Pol Pot, and 1.3 million people killed. But it's this whole thing of programmed, and you have a huge problem in your universities and colleges. We have the same. We have the people that turn around and say we believe in free speech. Well, we believe in free speech as long as it's free speech
for
that
our
says
side.
what we want to say. And right wing party in this country, Reform, has just been banned from debating. Being part of a debate in Bangor University in Wales, this is how bad it is. But it's a Fabian push, as in step by step, incrementally. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. It's indoctrination, Mark. It's indoctrination. Oh,
totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. People might be shocked. But many years ago, I would have described myself as extremely left wing at one point, and then you grow out of it. But what is interesting about that is that when you do grow out of it, people can't cope with it. I mean, you see, within I've talked about this on other shows, and I think Stephanie in her book touches on this, and that's why it's a very good book to get hold of. It's this whole thing of liberation theology, where you are bringing a different gospel in. You are bringing left-wing orientated
thinking,
revised, and you're bringing that into the church. So this is what we are facing. And a few months ago, suddenly everyone started talking about the Fabian Society, because they suddenly realized that there has been a big project here. It was started by Blair. And also, as I've said to you a number of times, we fit into Texas, the great state of Texas, 2.5 times. We fit into Texas 2.5 times as a country. Mm-hmm. We have had, since the 4th of July 2024, we've had 65,000 illegal immigrants come over in rubber boats over the channel. Now, we are a small country. We can't afford this. Now, to be fair to you have had, according to J.J. Carroll, anywhere between 11 million, maybe even up to 30 million, maybe even 50 million.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely illegal aliens that have come over your southern border into America. And I just want to finally say this. We've touched on the Fabian Society. We look at what's happening in Canada and these awful events of this shooting. This is a boy dressed up as a girl, right? So I wonder what transgender issues are going on there. But the key is this. I think in October 23, all the top sort of socialist mindsets, from Trudeau to Keir Starmer, Jacinda Ardern, all meet up and be in one room. This is happening everywhere. This is a deliberate plan and a campaign. JD, I'll stop there because I think we're coming against our 29-minute marker. But thank you.
We are indeed, Mark. And I did want to thank you so much for taking the time, making it through the technical issues that we had earlier as well. You guys didn't see it, but it was pretty bad. But we survived it, and we got there, and we give glory to the Lord. And if you have not accepted Jesus, please do. And Mark, thanks again for being around, and we'll get you back on here real quick. Until next time, everybody, good night, and God bless.
As we've discussed today, the world is changing rapidly. Governments rise, cultures shift, and political systems evolve. But truth does not move. For believers around the world, this is not a time for fear, and it is not a time for retreat. It is a time for clarity, conviction, and faithfulness. Thank you for joining us for The State of the World today, Faith Under Pressure. You can watch this program and many more family-friendly shows on Roku and Amazon Fire TV by searching for and opening the Last Christian Media app.
You can also stream directly at www.lastchristian.net. Visit our official store at lastchristian.net/store and consider supporting this work at lastchristian.net/donate. Until next time, stand firm, stay informed, and remain anchored in truth.